The prices are out, FPL will soon be live, and now the pod is back too. Is history maker Haaland a must-have at his new bumper price? Is midfield the place to go with some intriguing options? And could this be the season Sam finally goes without Kane? Well, hello. It's been 38 long days since we last agonised over team news, asked if we were brave enough to finally go without captaining Haaland, and of course, pondered over those final game week 38 transfers. But whilst we still have to wait a little bit longer for the Premier League to return, FPL is back, and so are we here at the FPL Pod. Julian Laron and Sam Bonfield with me once again. Jules, good to see you.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Sam. Good to see you. Good to be back already.
It does. I said 38 days, but in a way it feels like it was just yesterday back in the studio to talk about it all over again. Does this feel a bit like Christmas for you, Sam?
Yeah. It's like Christmas Eve, isn't it? Getting all the prices.
I was going to say, we did the launch together with some of the price reveals. We did one player from each club, which you guys at home may have seen on the Premier League's various output on Monday. So we got teased, and then over the last few days we've seen player reveals, and now the game is finally live. How are you feeling when you can actually see the players and see their prices?
It's a bit scary though, isn't it? Because you don't build a squad
real,
and they
it?
Don't fit. Then you kind of go, can I have them back price as they were last year? But yeah, exciting times.
Jules, when you were looking at the price reveals that were coming out, who were you most excited or intrigued to see?
I always look at the new players, and there will be more. There will be more transfers made, of course, in the Premier League, ins and outs, of course, between now and the start of the season and now and the end of August. But I was curious to see like how much those players would cost, like a Szoboszlai, for example, very exciting. Tonali at Newcastle, all those kind of players being very excited. The others, and yes, their prices go up or down. It depends on the players, on the season, and who plays in their team as well and all of that. But for the new guys who come from a different league, it's always very exciting to see, okay, you love Szoboszlai, you saw him with Leipzig, now he's at Liverpool, who's your club in England. So you want him in? How much is he? Is he 7? Is he 8? Is he 9? Is he 10? That always excites me a lot.
Excites me, but I'm going to be honest, the main thing I was excited about was just to see how much budget I was going to have left once I put Erling Haaland in my team.
86 million,
yes.
That's it.
It's basically, isn't it? It's like, how much money have we got left?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, particularly if you want to have Salah and Trent or Kane in there as well.
So
that
many
budget
headaches.
Just disappears. You can spend a third of it before you've won just three players.
It's quite scary, really, isn't it? So many headaches, so many conundrums already. Jules, who was first on your team sheet?
It's two players, and I'm surprised that you two haven't followed me in this, but I don't
think... Don't give it away yet.
Okay,
we're going to reveal
sorry,
our team,
I don't. So Haaland, for sure, like you mentioned, but Harry Kane goes with him. I can't believe that people are ready to build their squad without Kane and Haaland together.
I shouldn't have asked him this early in the
podcast.
He's just revealed that potentially one half of the Harry Kane fan club... has left Harry Kane behind.
So disappointed
in you. I just basically spent all night last night crying about how to fit him in my team.
We've gone early. I didn't mean to get onto this. Yeah, we will talk more in depth about our team. As if he's coming with a dig already. I just asked him who was on his team sheet.
Not surprising, is it?
And basically he was just highlighting who wasn't
called
on
us
ours.
Out.
Sam, what about you? Who was first on your team sheet? Is it as simple as it was Haaland?
No, actually he wasn't first. I did the goalies first, which was a strange way of doing it this year. Normally I go premium by position. But this year I found that quite hard in the midfield. So I put the goalies in, then I put Trent in, and then I put Haaland in.
And there's
in.
A conversation to be had around Trent Alexander-Arnold,
there definitely
of course,
is.
Because we've seen him play midfield at times for Liverpool at the end of last season. He then played in midfield for England in June as well. And of course, he's had a bit of a price hike. We'll come on to that very shortly. But in terms of squad structure, Jules, how do you go about it? You've already said who was first in your team in terms of Harry Kane.
Yeah.
But how do you go about building your squad and distributing the 100 million that we get?
As you know, a lot of my boys and my brothers are in the team. They have to be. So Curtis Jones.
Too many now.
Curtis Jones. Aaron Ramsdale is in. William Saliba, once he's back from his injury.
But Jules, in terms of structure, is that how you do it? Do you literally... I'm trying to ask a sensible question here.
He's also
desperate to reveal his squad.
I'm just saying...
No, but do you have do you think I'm going to put my key premiums in first and then build outwards?
Yes, sorry,
or do you do it as simple as defence, midfield, forwards? How do you do it?
So I put the premiums first. And for me, can I reveal my three premiums?
You are desperate so go ahead.
So Kane, Haaland and Trent were the three that I really have wanted in the team. And after that, I knew the goalkeeper because the prices and the goalkeeper are the one that they're more or less all in the same ball pond. And then for the rest, after that, I kind of sorted the rest.
Okay, so Jules does premiums first. Sam, that's pretty much what I do as well, because I like to have the big, exciting players. It's like when you have pocket money as a kid, isn't it? And you go in and you know what you want to buy and you want to buy the most expensive thing and then you work out if you can afford that.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like with FPL for me. I like to know that I've got them in and then everyone else kind of just has to fit in around them.
Yeah, premiums first, then the budgets. Like, go cheap, down the bottom, find the value.
Is that why you do goalkeepers early as well?
Yeah.
We're trying not to reveal teams, but it's very hard here. I'm trying to have like a sensible, structural conversation to lead into our teams.
Yeah.
But spoiler alert, Sam hasn't gone for premium goalkeepers.
You're going, well, I might have done. I haven't. But yeah, go in with the premiums first in each position and then fill in with the budget and then see how much money you got left in the middle to work out how you go with the mid-price players. That's how I do it.
How much harder did you find it? Because obviously we all have favourites from last year. We know who served us well, but a lot of those players will have gone up in price because they did do well last season. How hard do you find that kind of mindset? Because you want to be loyal to certain players that have done well, but maybe now they don't quite fit into your budget.
Yeah, Gabriel Martinelli is a prime example of that. I looked at him and was like, how do I get you in this year? It's difficult. I think you have to remember that the season before that, I didn't have him in my team and we got through a decent season without. So it's finding somebody that comes in at that same price point that he was last year that could add the same level of value that he did last season and maybe keep some of the ones that were really good for us last time around, the ones that you kind of think they're likely to have as good a season as they did before because maybe they've got penalty responsibilities or set pieces and things like that.
Jules, do you leave any money in the bank?
Absolutely not.
I was going to say, I know
what the answer. Would you save? I mean, come on. It's just you don't even... They could give us a bit more money even, I think. even looking at the squad now, I don't even know where I could save money.
The thing is, I do think you should leave 0.5 in the bank because when the price changes happen in game week one, which they do, people go crazy selling people after the game week one deadline, then you've got the 0.5 to play with when people go up 0.1 or your player drops 0.1 because otherwise you're stuck and you can't afford the players that rise. So
that's the reason, Jules.
It's a good
when
idea.
You're like, why would you? That's why I asked that as well, because I want to keep 0.5 in the bank. I want
left?
To be Sam Bonfield. No, I don't
no,
have a penny
don't.
Left at the moment.
But, nor do I.
But I'm very aware that it's a good tactic to
it's
have
a good
because
strategy.
It gives you because also you've got to bear in mind that after game week one, you've only got one transfer to use.
True.
You know, like sometimes you make two transfers to enable you to get to another player. You can't. So if you obviously you can wait till game week, another game week, and then bank your transfer to do it. But it does just give you a little more flexibility if you realise you've just gone for one player that's wrong rather than having to go for two. So
that
was the reason I asked that. Sam, I remember this time last year, I think we were all talking about threemiums. Do you remember that? How we all fit our three premiums into our team. Jules has already said that he's doing that again. He's sticking with that threemium strategy in terms of...
Can't wait to see the rest
Trent,
of his team.
Trent, Kane and Haaland. I can't remember whose other one was there. Of course, Erling Haaland. Are you thinking it could be different this year? I heard Mark Southerns, a friend of the podcast, of course, kind of jokingly call it a one-eum. He thinks we might be heading towards that. Do you think with the prices, with the way FPL have laid things out this season, it'll be harder for people to get multiple premiums in unless your name's Julian Laurent?
Yeah, I think he's got extra budget going on over there. Yeah, I think it will. I think most people will have two. At most, they'll have two. Some people might just go in with one. I think there is enough value, really good players in the middle price bracket, the sort of 8.5 to 9.5, that you could go with a lot of them and they will make for just as good premium picks, I think. So yeah, I think it will be a struggle to get a premium this team this year.
Also, we often see, don't we, that we want to go big on defence. Remember the real heydays of Liverpool when we went for Trent and Robertson and we were having to put so much budget into defence. Early days, Jules, obviously, the ball hasn't been kicked. Still got a month to go.
Yeah.
But it's looking like midfield is where a lot of people are expecting there to be a lot of value this year.
Yeah, and we said that last year as well. Remember, there was a lot of really good picks to have in a season where Foden, for example, didn't really return as much as you would have expected or anticipated, which could be, again, different this year. So, yeah, this is where you could do really well on or not so well in your season, is if you pick the right guys in midfield, whether you go for a full-loaded midfield and only like superstars. Some people maybe, you know, have done that. Or you have three really good ones and the rest are budget players, whatever way you want to do it. Or you've got some youngsters who will get some game time at some point and you just have faith in them. It doesn't matter so much. But I think this is where, this is where it could be won again.
Okay, so I know Jules is desperate for us to get to our squads, but I do just want to run through a few of the positional changes in FPL this year because it happens every summer where certain players move when they get reclassified, and sometimes they can go under the radar. A few of these will have, so let's just run through them. So going from a forward to a midfielder, Diogo Jota, Kai Havertz, Richarlison, Brian Mbeumo, Brennan Johnson and Enciso. Going from a midfielder to a forward, Cody Gakpo and Johan Visser. Going from a defender to a midfielder, Sergi Canos. Going from a midfielder to a defender, Lewis Hall. And going from a defender to a midfielder, it's Newcastle's Matt Ritchie. Sam, which ones jump out at you, if any?
The Liverpool swap is interesting, isn't it? Mm. Jota and Gakpo swapping over is kind of going to be fascinating, because Gakpo was really good as a midfielder last time around, but then obviously you lose those additional points for clean sheets and things like that when you become a forward. So maybe it makes him less exciting, but potentially makes Jota a better option than he was this time last year. I think the best one is Mbeumo, though. He's going to be massively attractive coming the other way, because you'd expect him to still be playing up front with Tony not there. So playing out of position as a midfielder, probably on penalties, additional clean sheet potential. And we know that Brentford have got good clean sheet ability. So I think he's the standout one on that list. And Brennan Johnson's in there with a bit of a shout too for going in the same direction.
Yeah, for me, Mbeumo and Johnson are the two that really do stand out, because their prices as well, particularly from Mbeumo, is a really interesting one at 6.5.
Yeah, we'll have to see how he does without Tony, and he did well at the end of last season without him, but this is a new season and he will have more responsibilities, and does he have the shoulders for it? It'll be very interesting. But if he's hit the ground running straight away, you would expect that as well, a lot of people transferring him in, because at that price and in that position, it's a very different offering from him than if he was one of the forwards that you needed to have. A bit same for Brennan Johnson. Last season he was the third forward that you could have. Now it's different to have him in midfield.
Okay, we're going to just quickly run through some of the biggest price changes as well. We'll go through club by club, because one of the biggest ones, surely, Sam, was Son Heung-min going from 12 million down to 9 million. That is a 3 million FPL pound decrease, and is perhaps a reflection on just what happened to him last season.
Yeah, had a poor season, didn't he? Reflected by Spurs, actually, generally. But he was injured for part of that as well. So, I mean, I think it's really nice. It's a really nice price. Suddenly it puts him in contention to have as your Spurs asset rather than Kane, if you don't have millions of pounds like Jules does to spend on Kane and Haaland. So yeah, I really like the Son price. I think I was expecting him to be 10. So when he was 9, it was like, that's a nice bonus, because it feels like the sort of price point you can work into your midfield depending upon your strategy with the other premiums.
But when you look at Son's price, are you put off a little bit when you see Madison's price being 7.5, Jules?
Yeah, I think the Madison price is really attractive. Really, really attractive. If you think that he's going to do well, then why not? It's another creative player in a team that is going to play very attacking football with a new manager in Ange Postecoglou. There's no way Son can have another season like last year, I don't think. So he's just too good. It was just one of those blips that you can have. Madison adds creativity. If Madison can find a way of playing with Kane and Son, which again is not a given because of the way Kane likes to play, he could find himself in a lot of positions where Madison, or spaces where Madison is already. So they would need a bit of working out and understanding together. But if he clicks between Son, Madison and Kane, plus let's say Kulusevski on the other side, that could be very good from Spurs. And then you could be looking at two of those four in your team from a Spurs point of view.
One player you haven't mentioned there, Richarlison. He's suffered a price decrease as well. He's gone from 8.5 million down to 7 million. At Manchester City, as we've already mentioned, Erling Haaland is only the fourth player in the history of the game to start the season at 14 million. He's gone from 11.5 million. That's a 2.5 million increase. Do we even need to discuss why that's happened?
No, it's deserved, wasn't it?
Is it fair? Is it, because I saw a lot of people speculating, was he going to be 13.5? Was he going to be 14? Do you understand why FPL have priced him at that?
I can understand why he is. I think it's interesting because Salah's never hit that. And
so he's the most expensive player in the history of the game?
Van Persie, Ronaldo and Henri.
He's only the fourth player to ever start the season at 14.
Really?
Yeah, wow. But Salah never reached that, and he's the highest ever returning player in FPL because he's had 303 points in the 17-18 season. So I was kind of wondering whether they might put him where Salah has been in the past, because on the back of his most expensive season, when he returned the most points, he was only ever 13.5. But 14 does kind of seem fair, because he's playing in a Man City side that is literally all about him, feeding him the ball, creating opportunities for him. So I don't think 14 is unreasonable. And I also think that it's going to make you make some tough decisions elsewhere.
That's why I was quite excited about it, because although it's harder, like we said, only having 86 million, it's going to make people maybe, maybe think twice about having him.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or make you more creative to find another.
I think that's more likely, isn't it?
14 players with 86 million.
Manchester United's price changes are interesting because Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford are players that have gone up and down. Bruno's gone from 10 million to 8.5. Marcus Rashford, after his stunning season, didn't we enjoy owning him when he was around 6.5 million? And when he was just, even when he was rising from 6.5 million, you were getting such good value for money. Unfortunately, he's gone up by 2.5 million to 9 million.
Yeah, but he was great though, wasn't he?
I know, but it's a big drop, I think, for Bruno, who's a really good player and very important in that team too. And it's a huge rise for Rashford, who's been great. But again, probably more in between the two prices.
The thing is, I think if you'd have left Rashford in between those 2 points, he'd have just been in everyone's team because he had such a great season. Whereas I think at nine, you've got to think really carefully about whether you have him or whether you have Bruno, because Bruno's got penalties. So having the penalty taker at 0.5 less, it kind of does make you make an interesting choice, because naturally, after last season,
my heart wants Rashford.
To Rashford. Yeah, I do too. Mm. That's the first thing I did when I looked at the teams and I looked at Manchester United, was go, right, where's Rashford? Pop him in. And then I was like, oh, but he's cheaper. He's more expensive than Bruno. Bruno's got penalties and some more set pieces.
Does Bruno definitely have penalties?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, it's difficult to have Rashford when Bruno's cheaper. But if Rashford starts the season this year like he did last, it will be very hard. Maybe this is why you need 0.5 in the bank.
That's genuinely one of my big fears of not having that 0.5, because I'm, spoiler for my team, I've got Bruno Fernandes, but I've had Marcus Rashford in.
Yeah.
And I've changed to Bruno Fernandes because I'm just like...
The budget.
Yeah, the budget. I need that 0.5.
Fair enough.
But I'm very aware that at some point, I might regret that.
And now with the arrival of Mount, you do wonder if that will have an impact on Bruno, in the sense of what Ten Hag could ask Bruno, maybe play deeper, so less attacking returns for Bruno, because he will let Mount run forwards with Rashford, with whoever the number nine is, with Antony on the other side or whatever. It would be good to see. And in that case, then maybe you find a 0.5 for Rashford, because you know that Bruno is not going to attack as much maybe as we used to in the past.
But then if that happens, you could also just go for Mount generally, because
he's
seven, so then you can save yourself.
Seven is a really good price for Mason Mount.
Oh, don't throw that into the mix as well. I hadn't even thought about Mason Mount. But that could be a way of me freeing up that money.
100%. Yes. Suddenly we're getting a bit closer to Kane, Kelly.
That isn't my sole purpose.
That's
fine.
Don't reveal too much either.
Okay,
says the man who's revealed his whole squad.
You also revealed that Sam hadn't got Kane in the first 3 minutes of this podcast. Arsenal, Jules, we knew it was going to happen, didn't we?
Yes.
We knew we couldn't have those cheap midfielders forever. Martin Odegaard going from 6.5 to 8.5. Martinelli going from 6 to 8. But Bukayo Saka, 8.5. I was pleasantly surprised when I saw Saka, because I was worried he was going to go higher.
Yeah, me too. I thought 9 at least minimum for him, considering we said 9 for Rashford, 9 for Son. I still think that then it's a very attractive proposition from Bukayo Saka, who will be even better than last season in a team that is going to be better with better players.
Says the Arsenal fan.
No, but I'm just saying it's true.
Too much Arsenal chat going on.
He signed a new deal, so that doesn't even have that kind of cloud above him either. So yeah, 8.5, I think it's a nice present done by the FPL team for all the managers.
Surprised at Martin Odegaard's price, or was that kind of what you expected, that 2 million rise?
No, I think he needed it, didn't he? It was the highest scoring player for Arsenal last season, and he's the captain. He's always going to play. You've got that security of starts. I think it's deserved. I think it's interesting that he's the same price as Saka, because at that point I was like, well, I'd rather have Saka over Odegaard, which is why I kind of agree with George. I was surprised that Saka wasn't 9. But Martinelli being 0.5 cheaper also, I think, makes me more attracted to go with him than I am with Odegaard.
Don't think there's going to be too many of us able to double up on that Arsenal midfield as we did at last season. Another huge price decrease then. Raheem Sterling, 10 million down to 7 million. If you'd have told me 2 or 3 years ago that Sterling was going to be priced at 7 million, he would have been the first player in my squad. That must be surely the cheapest he's pretty much ever been.
Pretty much, yeah. Since the 13-14 season, when he was 5.5 at Liverpool, that first campaign. And since then, 16-17 and 17-18, he was 8 million starting point. But yeah, other than that, that's the lowest he's ever been. So seems like great value, doesn't it? Under Poch as well, the way that they're going to play, he could be such a great enabler for us at that price point.
What about Kieran Trippier, Jules? Because he's gone from 5 to 6.5. That's too much for me, that.
Yeah, I know. That's a big increase when you look at Botman, for example, who's going to play every single game, who is still at 4.5. When you look at Reece James, who, if he stays fit and if the Poch era starts well, then becomes it's 1.5 million less than Kieran Trippier. And I know Trippier and Newcastle have been very good last season and they've been very solid defensively, but they will have to play in the Champions League this season. You don't know what the new signings are going to do and bring, and if everything is going to be right from the beginning. So Trippier at 6.5, when last season he was an automatic player starter in all of our teams, pretty much at some point he was one of the most owned players. Maybe this time people would think twice about him.
They will. Myself and Sam are thinking twice. Yeah. Jules.
No way!
Jules, maybe not so. The good news now, though, Jules, is we're finally on the squad reveal part of the podcast.
Yes.
We're not going to do it all in once, though, so try and calm yourself. Tell me who your goalkeepers are, please.
Oh, I bet we could guess.
Yeah, actually, if it's not Aaron Ramsdale, you're booted off the squad.
Oh, my boy, Aaron Ramsdale. My brother, congratulations for the wedding and for the baby coming, because, you know, it's important.
What
he listens
time,
to the
yeah.
show. Aaron Ramsdale first. And then I've got Verbruggen, the new signing from Brighton, who's a very, very promising young goalkeeper.
No, I was just going to say, I'm so glad at the points like this that we have him on the podcast.
To pronounce it for us.
No, but also he watches every game of football
exactly.
ever.
So
you can tell us loads.
Exactly.
Yes,
he's one of the best, if not the best in Europe for his age group. He was outstanding in the Euros under 21 this summer. And I think Brighton were very, very clever to go and get him so young. He will be amazing. I don't know if you go straight with him from game week one, but I think at 4.5 million, he's a very interesting pick to have. And if you see that he's doing well and starting and that De Zerbi trust him, then you can play him. If you have another decent goalkeeper like a Ramsdale or somebody else, then you have, I think, two very strong goalkeepers without having a premium.
Okay, so that's 9.5 you've spent on your goalkeepers. As we know, you seem to have this unlimited budget.
They're two amazing goalkeepers, though.
They are very good. Did they go in first?
After my three premiums, Aaron Ramsdale was first, like all my boys and my brothers that I put in. So as soon as Verbruggen was announced officially by Brighton, I knew it was going to be in my squad.
Okay, Sam, your goalkeepers are the same as mine.
Of course they are.
What a surprise.
But we didn't do this on purpose.
No, we didn't.
I deliberately did not share mine with Kelly.
That really does make out like I do copy it all the time.
No, because I wanted...
I'm a bit of a sponge, I suppose, in that I like to take lots of advice off lots of people. I don't copy, though.
Although we did talk about these two on the show the other day.
Well, as soon as we
did...
So these were the two goalkeepers, or two of the three goalkeepers that we revealed on Monday. And as soon as Leno and Pickford came up at 4.5 million, like you said it on the show at the time.
I did.
They've got really nice rotating fixtures.
They do.
I asked you a question about your goalkeepers and I'm telling you about mine.
It's all right.
It didn't work very well for me, but I liked doing a 4.5 and a 4 at the same club. And like we had it at Leicester last year.
Yeah.
It really didn't work for me because, well, I mean, Leicester got relegated, which tells you all you need about need to know about clean sheets that they kept. But I like to do that. However, if you can have a pair of rotating goalkeepers like those two, for me, it feels... quite a nice move, quite an obvious move.
Yeah, because the only problem you've got is game week one when they play each other. So you've just got to decide between the two of them. But then after that, they've each got a nice fixture when the other one's got a difficult fixture. And that pretty much runs all the way through to game week eight. And by then, I'm kind of thinking that most managers, myself included, will be looking to have wild card in anyway. So you can make a change with the goalkeeper strategy at that point. And Leno, you know, look, he was great last season, wasn't he? Second for saves, anyway, I had more. I made 144 of them. That was 37 additional points across the season for save points. So that's a lot. Mm. And then Pickford did similar. I mean, and also with Pickford, you've got the whole season under Dyche coming, new, more defensively secure, hopefully, from Everton. We'll find out, won't we, when game one rolls around.
He'll probably still get the save points.
But he should still get the save points. So, and he got 28 of those last time around at a time where they just weren't keeping clean sheets. So if you're going to rack up the save points, then that's great. Plus, he had a penalty save and an assist last season as well, Pickford. So if you pick up those extra points, that's going to really help. So I think as a rotating pair, for the opening 8 weeks-ish of the season, they, for me, are the best pair. And I don't want to spend more than 9 million on my goalkeepers.
If we have got any new listeners or new FPL players listening along, Sam, just break down how goalkeepers score points, because you mentioned save points there.
Yeah, so they get 4 if they keep a clean sheet and then they rack up save points. So over the course of the season, that can add up. And as we saw with Leno, getting an additional 37 points across the season because he made a save every 22 and a half minutes last year. That's a lot. Plus, obviously, they get the additional points for things like assists and then penalty saves also on top of that.
Yeah, so it also means that you don't have to get a clean sheet to get points,
no,
which is what people maybe don't realise.
Yeah, and I think that's the benefit of looking for players that last season did really well for save points and things like that, because they're likely to continue that, because that's the way that their teams play. They allow low-risk shots. Like, Brentford are particularly good at that. So Ray is a great pick in goal because they allow low-risk shots where he's likely to make saves.
OK, let's go into defence then. Jules, reveal your defence to us.
OK, so the three main players are Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's there, who's, as we mentioned, is expensive, but that you would expect Liverpool and Klopp to still play him in midfield when Liverpool are on the ball next season, which means a different dynamic to his game with assist and touching a lot of the ball, bonus points, maybe even more goals, while still defensively trying to do his job as a right back when they lose the ball and hopefully being a bit more solid defensively than last season. So Trent, for me, has to be there. Trippier, we mentioned before. Joachim Andersen from Crystal Palace, simply because I think Roy Hodgson is going to make this team not better at playing football, but certainly more solid, which is what he does. And again,
people would argue that does make you good if you're solid as well.
Exactly. True. Still not my cup of tea completely. However, I think Anderson and Gay, so go for the one that you want, but I picked Anderson, who I think is slightly cheaper, because I think, yeah, they're going to be more solid. And then I've got sort of two wild cards, if you want, in Bell and Bayer. Bell from Luton, who played pretty much every single minute of every single game last season in the Championship, and Bayer, who Burnley just made permanent, who is in German under 21, who's very promising tall centre back, who again will get some game time. So it'd be interesting to have them two on the bench if I play with the back three.
I was going to say, having 2 4 million defenders, are you planning on benching those most of the time? Is that the plan?
Yeah, although I think there will be some fixtures, especially at home, where I expect those two teams to be quite solid.
Sam, your defence, I think there's 2 defenders you've got in common with Jules.
Ooh. Trent Alexander-Arnold, as I said earlier, he was the first name on my list. Reece James, and then I went Saliba, if fit and available for the start of the season. Obviously, if he's not fit, then I'll swap him for one of the other Arsenal defenders, because I haven't gone with Ramsdale and Goal, and Arsenal's fixtures are really nice to start the season. I'm expecting a lot of clean sheets in there. And I think, had Saliba been fit for those last 10 game weeks or 11 game weeks of the season...
Don't bring it up.
I know, but if he had been, I genuinely think he'd have been Arsenal's top scoring defender. I think he'd have beat Ben White in that category. So I put him in, first of all, because I do really like him. And at 5 million, I think he offers a lot of good budget. And the thing for me with the defenders is I like to have the price points there so that I can move between them as the clean sheet stick. So one in, obviously, the most expensive one, plus then a 5.5 and a 5. And then I've done similar with a 4.5 and a 4. Bell also, but I've also gone with Connor Roberts from Burnley. There's some attacking threat there from him. And I think worth that little bit extra over the other 4s that were in the game. Scored 4 goals and got 6 assists in the Championship last season. Plus, Burnley were mostly solid, actually, defensively last year. 21 clean sheets. Only Coventry got more in the Championship. Now, of course, the Premier League is different. I'm not expecting them to come up and keep 21 clean sheets again. But I think there's enough potential there for him that he's worth it.
I want to ask you about Reece James, because he's actually made it into my squad as well. Reece James was Luke Shaw in my squad. He's the same price at 5.5. But I just like the idea of him under Mauricio Pochettino. We know how explosive Reece James can be.
Yeah.
I want to see, well, I'm hoping that Jules is going to keep a close eye on them in pre-season, as we know he normally does.
Keeps a close eye on everyone.
So we'll get some scouting reports off it, off him. And that will decide if he stays in my team. But he just feels like, not a wild card, but...
But he does a bit.
Yeah, because of the form of Chelsea last season, because they've got a new manager, because he's had his injury problems as well.
Yes.
But why did you pick him
again? So I don't know why I do this to myself, really, because Reece James, every time I own him, is terrible for me. He's just one
but
of those players.
You know he can be good. That's what lures
And that's
you
what's
in.
Frustrating, is that every year I'm like, I'll get Reece James, and then I get him, and then he's terrible, and I sell him, and then he's brilliant. So Chilwell's the same price, by the way, so you could go on the other side and go with him instead. I went for him because, like you, I think under Poch, he could be brilliant. I think the way that Poch's system is set up at Chelsea could easily mean that Reece James and Ben Chilwell are the assets to have. Plus, 0.5 cheaper than he was last time around, 14 starts last time, just the 3 attacking returns. So if he can get consistent run without getting injured, and I think that's going to be key. I also didn't have him in my original, when I was putting this together, I had John Stones in there instead.
You and I are so similar, because so did I. I had John Stones as well. I'd like to tell the listeners at this point that we did this all anonymously.
We
didn't talk to each other about it.
We didn't even send them in the same group chat.
Nope, we didn't at all. Just to fill you in on my defenders then, Reece James, as I said, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Bell, and then I've got a couple of different players from you here, Sam. I've gone Tyrone Mings and Estupiñán. Estupiñán was actually the second defender I put in after Alexander-Arnold. Estupiñán could become, sorry, Saliba, but I just really, there's something about Estupiñán
that
I want
that
to keep, the attacking returns, the potential. Mm-hmm. I like having a Brighton defender. Mings, I needed a 4.5. Mings, for me, was solid. We know he gets returns. We saw the impact he had on that Villa side. It worries me a little bit that they have European football, so he could change as well. But Villa defence under Emery was pretty reliable for us FPL managers, wasn't it? Right, midfield. Sam, you can go first this time.
Okay, so no premium in my midfield at the moment, which actually is the thing that I dislike most about this team, because there's not as much flexibility as I would have wanted. James Maddison in there at 7.5 feels like an absolute steal to me. 7.5 million on set pieces, playing in that Spurs team. Is he going to be the new Ericsson? Maybe.
In
hope so. Yeah, indeed. I've gone with Saka. I think he's worth that 0.5 extra over Martinelli, I think, at the moment. But I could see a point where I swap them if I need that 0.5.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I do think Martinelli still offers great value at 8. So I could save myself 0.5 there. Bruno Fernandes, for all the reasons that we discussed earlier, I think he should be in there. And, you know, he was second for expected assists last season. Only KDB was expected to assist more. He just never lived up to the underlying data. And I think next season, if he manages to kind of perform at that level that we've seen him do in the past, then we could get really great things out of him. Mbeumo, and then Morgan Gibbs-White is my fifth midfielder of choice, because that 6 million price, I was like, oh, that's nice.
I also thought it was quite interesting when I saw his price. I don't know if you thought this as well, Jules, where there was a lot of interesting players at 6.5, the likes of Mbeumo, as you mentioned, Mitoma. But then Morgan Gibbs-White, I expected him to be 6.5 as well.
Me too.
And he's quite excited. He's doing really well for England under-21s
massively,
at the moment as well, isn't he?
Fantastic. Great. I mean, the only thing I can say for the people who are not too sure is that the second season in the Premier League is usually not the most difficult, but you have to confirm how good you were in the first one. And I think not just him, but Brendan Johnson at Forest the same. Will Forest struggle next season? Will they not? Will he be able to repeat and do even better than what he did last season? Because there will be more expectations because he's been so good. So we'll have to see. But I think it's a very, very appealing price. I agree.
Also for him, he did have that little bit of experience at Wolves before
true,
as well. So
true.
That's kind of, I know what you mean.
That will help him.
I feel the same about Forrest a little bit, but he kind of has had that. So
yeah, only three players in the game got more assists than Gibbs-White last year.
Really?
Yeah.
He finished so strongly this season.
12
that's,
assists.
That's where he came from. Yeah.
He's also got the same number of attacking returns as Bruno Fernandes last year.
And he takes pens.
I'm glad I've got him in my team.
Yeah, there you go.
My midfield, by the way, is Gibbs-White, Saka. Mitoma is the difference for me from Sam's. Maddison and Fernandes. Jules, I love your midfield. Go on.
So Mitoma, who was one of our boys, obviously from last season, is in there. I got Curtis Jones,
of course
my brother.
Is that just a sentimental?
Yes and no, Kelly, really. I mean, yeah, it is, because obviously the history we've got together, you know, and that kind of bond and love relationship. I don't know how much he will play, because now there's certainly far more competition in midfield for Liverpool with Szoboszlai and McAllister and Fabinho and Henderson and Elliott and all of that. So we'll have to see, but it could not be in my first squad of the season. So I love that, Curtis, you're there, brother. Alejandro Garnacho is a very interesting one, I think. One, because 5 million is quite cheap, I think, and I expect him to have quite a lot of game time now, especially if United don't sign a number 9. And I explain myself quickly. If United don't go for a big number 9 like an Osimhen or Kane or whatever, that means that Martial will be the number 9, but you could expect Rashford to be a lot used by Ten Hag in that number 9 position. We then freeze the left-hand side, and I think over Sancho, Garnacho will have maybe the priority for Ten Hag for everything he brings on the ball. So I expect Garnacho to have a really decent season, and certainly at the start of it. I mean, I thought Mudryk was going to have a good second half of the season. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because I would
exactly.
have if you didn't.
But yeah, Garnacho at 5 million for me, I think, is an interesting one. Mitoma, we've said it there. And then I went for Raheem Sterling, which is a big gamble, I know. But at the price that we discussed earlier, I think it's a gamble worth taking. And the final one is Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz, because he's 7.5 million, and I didn't have as much money as you for midfielders because of who I've got up front. But Havertz, I like the idea of using him as a number 8 and him scoring goals from that deeper position and that midfield position. I think he can do great in there. He's got all the attributes, all the ability to be an amazing number 8 for Arsenal in the way this team plays. So I like the idea on paper. It might not work out and I might regret it, but I think on paper it looks really good. And if it clicks, I think Havertz could be an amazing differential.
It's easy enough to move as well, though, from those price points. I think that's the other thing, is it, in setting up teams, it's about the prices, isn't it? Because, you know, we've not mentioned players like the Man City mids in Foden and Grealish, who are in at 7.5. There's players like the Liverpool mids in Luis Diaz, who's 7.5, Jota, who's 8. So if you have those players in those prices, you can move then between them, depending upon who starts the season well and what we start to see in terms of positions on the pitch, that kind of thing.
And Jules, you can go down to maybe Morgan Gibbs-White or someone
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, and Bomo, yeah.
Yeah, some budget.
Yeah, completely.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Jules kind of has the midfield that I would like to have if I didn't panic about my team so much.
Don't tell him that's template. Don't tell him.
No, it's fun. It's a bit bolder. That's what we know
exactly,
you're like.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Okay, moving on to forwards then, Sam.
Oh.
Do you know what? I'm going to say this at this point. For me, doing my forwards was the hardest part of my team. Because once you've got Haaland in, then it's hard because I wasn't sure about any of the budget options, because the real budget options are from the newly promoted teams, and goes back to what we were talking about before of we need to see if they can do it in the Premier League. Or then do you go, because the likes of Ollie Watkins are priced a little bit more, Mitrovic is priced a little bit more. So I found it really hard to find the other two forwards. I don't know if you guys felt the same.
Well,
I didn't.
There were a few times that I was doing this where I took Haaland out, because it was really difficult and I was kind of looking at my forward line thing and I just don't like it at all. Like I'm one of those managers that I like to play two forwards every week. Like in an ideal world, I'd start two of them. In a better world, I'd start three of them every week. And I just was really struggling to find a way to make three work that wasn't having my beloved up there as well. So it's been difficult. I've got Haaland, somehow ended up with Darwin again. Like, I feel like this could be another year.
I thought you've been burned before.
I know. I should have been, shouldn't I? Darwin in there. It was a straight kind of toss-up between him and Gakpo in the end, because obviously I don't have Salah here. So I was like looking at my team thinking, obviously I've got Trent, but I would like a Liverpool attacker because I am expecting them to be better this season. And actually Darwin, when I had a look at him when he was playing in Portugal, his second season was so much better than his first once he'd settled. He got 26 goals in the 28 league games he played in Portugal that year, was the top goal scorer across the division. So I wonder whether we might see a bit more settling from Darwin this time around, whether we might actually get better Darwin. Maybe I've just talked myself into it, but he's ended up being my second choice. And then I've gone João Pedro as my third forward because, you know, he's gone to Brighton. There's going to be a lot of competition for spaces at Brighton, but I didn't have any Brighton players and I wanted one. And I couldn't afford Ferguson. Plus, he was 30 million. He's their record signing. So he's not going to not play at all, I would think. So
Yeah, no, I haven't got him. I've got Haaland, Darwin as well. I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not sure. And Ndai. I would love to go with João Pedro. Yeah. I just don't know how he fits in.
Yeah, maybe
I'm not sure
wide,
either.
Yeah, that's the thing, he can play out wide. And he's a brilliant player and I have no doubt that he will absolutely flourish in that system under Roberto De Zerbi. But we just don't know where he will play yet.
Correct.
And there's too many options there for me. Jules, you've got Haaland, you've got Kane and your third striker is Evan Ferguson. And I love that pick. If I'd got 0.5 more, do you think he'll start up front for Brighton?
Yeah, and I think he's potentially, again, he's going to have an amazing season. I think every little bit that we saw last season, okay, there was a few injuries there and there, and he made his debut with Ireland, which I think maybe just took the pressure level a bit higher up towards the end of the season. But I think the Zerbi sees him as an amazing player, which I think he is, or he certainly has the potential to it. This could be an amazing breakthrough season for him in a Brighton team that he's going to play even better than last season, even with the European competition. I think they will be more used to the Zerbi. They'll have new players. We mentioned João Pedro, Dahoud is coming. You can expect collectively, individually to be better. I just think it's going to be an amazing environment to flourish for a young player like him. That's what, I mean, again, that's the theory that I had. And at 6 million, okay, maybe a little bit expensive, but I just thought he fitted perfectly there with Haaland and Kane.
Your forwards altogether add up to 32.5 million.
Yeah, but I can't believe, seriously now, you never thought about having Kane with Haaland. Because remember, a year ago is the discussion that we also had, that a lot of people had, do we start with Haaland and Kane? Some people went for one, for the other. I remember changing the night before game week first started.
Sam,
the deadline.
If Madison had been priced at 9 or something, or a bit higher,
I'd have gone Kane.
Yeah, I did wonder.
I couldn't.
So you put Madison in, and not your boyfriend Kane.
<He's> not... There's quite a big price difference.
There's a massive
million difference.
I know, but you said if Maddison had been 9, so just 1.5 million more, you would have gone for Kane.
Yeah, because I'd have struggled between Kane and Son at that point. If Maddison had been the same price as Son, I'd have then had that conversation about, well, is Son going to be back to the Son from 2 years ago when he won the Golden Boot and was brilliant? Because if he is, then maybe I go there. And if he's not, then, and I don't think he is, if I didn't think he is, then I'm going Kane. I hate that there's no Kane in this team. Like, I genuinely hate it. And I look at it every time, which is why I said to you two last night that I was on draft number 8, because I basically spent all this time kind of going, well, who do I take out? And then there were so many kind of non-negotiables in there that it became a struggle. So Darwin, I've got to find a way to get Darwin to be Kane, but I do actually quite weirdly like the Darwin pick. So then I was like, well, how do I get Pedro up? And it's tough.
You know, there's a possibility where Luis Diaz, Cody Gakpo and Mo Salah start and Darwin doesn't even start.
Absolutely. So we'll have to watch what happens in pre-season to see what goes on there. But then Gakpo could be in there instead if he's going to be the one that starts, and he's the same price. So I could move there. Saka could be Martinelli, that saves 0.5. But it's literally just, I'm going to save 0.5 here, 0.5 there. I did think, well, Bruno could be Foden, that saves another one. So then I've got 1.5. But this is
Sam,
the thing.
It's
going to
be a
hard
month for you, isn't it?
Don't. You better not speak to me for the next one. But
like we said earlier, the midfielders are so good. For even the one that's 7, 7.5, 6.5, we mentioned some of them,
yeah,
that you could find space for Haaland and Kane and still have a really good midfield.
When I looked at your team, because I was like, how has he managed to get both them and Trent in? You don't have a midfielder over 7.5 in there.
And that's Haaland.
But you are quite tied now, because if one of those midfielders goes off, that's above,
I'm going to find 0.5 somewhere.
You're going to find it. No, but if you find that, you know, actually Son's really brilliant this year, to get from your 7 million midfielder, you're going to
struggle. But then you do Kane, then you let go Kane. But then I suspect that if
you're not going to let go of
no,
Kane,
but if Son does well, Kane will do well. This Kane just scored 30 goals in one of the
then
worst team that we've seen in a very long time. This team is going to be much better with a much better manager than they had before.
From an Arsenal fan,
no, it's
What's
true.
Going on here, he's being nice. About
it's true, and I think that's why I think Kane's season is going to be good. It's going to be then it could be very good if Son and Maddison are very good. It could be just good if the rest of the team and Postecoglou struggles a bit to make that team going, but he has the potential to be an amazing season from a Kane point of view too. That is if he's still there.
I also guess
the
difference with Kane is that, you know, regardless of what Postecoglou does, he will thrive. He will score goals. That's the point you're making,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
it?
Yeah, exactly. On pens,
but, I'm happy. Maybe it's because I'm not a Spurs fan as well and I don't quite have... I do love Harry Kane as someone that covers England.
You prefer Joao Pedro.
I don't have Joao Pedro. Don't get me wrong. I want nothing more than Joao Pedro to start on the opening week and score. And I will have him and I will captain him over Erling Haaland. But I'm happy to risk it, maybe because I don't have the emotional thing with Kane.
Yeah.
But I'm also very aware that at some point in my season, I will want Kane and it will be hard to get to him. I'm willing to gamble that.
Yeah. So the other thing I don't like about this is there is no obvious second captain if I don't want to captain Haaland for any reason, like in my team that I've created here.
I wonder
like
if he'll be captaining having, Trent.
Oh, I don't like captaining a defender.
But if he's not playing as a defender...
I've got a second captain.
Do we have to have him?
Right, okay. Do you know what? There's still a month to go until the season, which means there is plenty of time for us to argue.
Yeah, true.
I was going to say debate, but this is actually just an argument into chaos and an argument, hasn't it? And the good news is we're actually going to do a few more pods before the start of the season as well. So later in July, we'll be back with you when we've undoubtedly had time to make multiple transfers, read loads of articles on fantasy.premierleague.com, watch lots of football, get lots of scouting reports off Julian Ron. And we'll probably have completely changed our teams, but that's the beauty of it, isn't it? We've got a month to tinker. So Sam, don't worry, we're not holding you to it.
I will be changing
What's
it.
The probability, I wonder, of Sam having Harry Kane in her team?
80-20, I say.
80 to have him,
yeah.
I think it's higher than that, Jules.
Well, that's where we'll leave it, because we could sit here all day debating it all. Thank you for being with us, Sam. What are your plans the next few weeks other than trying to get Harry Kane in your team?
That is literally my whole, my whole plan.
Jules, you're off to Australia, as am I.
Yes, I see you there for the Women's World Cup, which is going to be very exciting.
It's going to be very exciting. Don't forget to keep watching. I know you're going to be on a different time zone. I need you to keep up to date with all of the pre-season stuff, because that's what we like from you on these podcasts ahead of the start of the season. Well, guys, enjoy tinkering with those teams. As I said, fantasy.premierleague.com is going to be buzzing for the next few days, because let's be honest, we're all buzzing about the return of FPL. So have a good few weeks sorting out your teams, and we'll be back in your ears with you very soon. Bye.